Hey, I think you have maybe the most interesting perspective, point of view on the NFL coming back to LA, because you're born and raised in LA, right?
Yeah, born and raised, Compton, California, LA. Yeah, man, that's where it all started. And obviously, being back home doing ESPN is full circle for me, but obviously it's been a tremendous journey.
So were you a Raider fan growing up? Was that your team?
No, I'm a Denver Bronco fan, to tell you the truth. I got something in me where either I root for the underdog or I go against the grain. So I'm a Denver Bronco fan. I'm a L.A. Clippers fan. When people try to sell me or give me the mainstream item, I usually go the other way. So that's kind of how my fandemonium went as well.
Okay, so there were L.A. football teams when you were growing up in Compton, right? Do you remember what that feeling was like, what the community was like? Was it something special? Do you think that the NFL possibly coming back to L.A. is going to be something great, or do you think that there's potential for it to fail all over again?
No, it'll be great, obviously, because of the fan interest. The appetite is greater than ever. So many people in L.A. are transplants, coming from all different types of fan bases. But what unites them is their love for the NFL. So if you give them an opportunity to share in that experience live and in person, a lot of people would take advantage of it on top of the natural fan bases those teams would have in the city, whatever team that may be, if that's the Chargers, if that's the Raiders, if that's the Rams. There are built-in fan bases already in Southern California for them to go and support. So I see no way it can fail. I know I'm excited. I know I'm going to be tailgating and hanging out, and hopefully I don't even have to work. I just want to go there as a fan, as an L.A. native, just to check it out.
Well, as someone who used to play for the Chargers, and I don't think you ever played for the Rams, I don't think you ever played for the Raiders, are you pulling for the Chargers, or is your time in San Diego, are you sort of hoping that the Chargers end up staying where they're at now?
Yeah, I hope the Chargers get to stay. Obviously, I don't think that's going to come to fruition, but it's just, it's selfish of me, but it's only like 2 hours away from home. And
right,
every other place is obviously farther. And my greed allows me to say, hey, if you bring in St. Louis, you bring in the Raiders, and we still have San Diego and San Diego, now we almost have three teams in Southern California. So more than anything, because there's business interests, the politics are at play. Since I was a Charger, they were talking stadium issues. I remember fans complaining about the stadium and when it would rain and how it would drip down from the top tier. There were structural issues. I know the locker room was very below standard, below par. So obviously they need to upgrade. And if they can't get it, it looks like they're going to have to turn their interest up to L.A. somewhere else. But selfishly, I want them to stay there because it's still fun to drive down and check out a couple of Charger games every year.
Yeah, right. There's three baseball teams in Southern California. Why couldn't there be three football teams too?
Exactly.
All right. So I don't know exactly how to phrase this question, and I hope I don't offend you in any way, but when people talk about the greatest pass rushers in Chargers history, you know, their top five, their top 10 list, I always make sure to put you in there because your first year with the Chargers, I think, was your best year of your career. You were just about unstoppable, and that actually caught me by surprise because you were a little bit undersized, but man, you had the technique down, you had the quickness, you had the speed when you needed it. And after that first year, you were never really able to recapture that magic. And I think you spent another like year and a half, 2 years with the Chargers and then sort of bounced around the league. What happened that you weren't able to recapture what you had in that first year? Was it that your body just finally broke down? Was it the rest of the team around you sort of falling apart? What happened?
Yeah, I take no offense to reality. I did my best year actually probably was the year before in Buffalo that put me in position to go to San Diego. What happened was, my year in Buffalo, it's funny, the story is known by the numbers, but not by the facts underneath it. In Buffalo, I had a back surgery in July, training camp, my contract year, the year before I got to San Diego. And I was supposed to be out half the year, most of the year. Instead, I rehabbed quickly, and I didn't miss any games, 6 weeks. So I put a lot of stress on my body, not thinking about it. One, I knew that it was my contract year. I had to show out, show up. I had to feed my family. But two, they just cut Bruce Smith, and there was a lot of pressure and a lot of expectations on me to be the next Bruce Smith up there, and I didn't want to let the people down. So I killed myself to get back on that field, and I did. And I started off slow, but I finished the season with 10.5 sacks, played the run extremely well, and was like a Pro Bowl mention or something. Whatever. I didn't play because I was still injured. So good year. Got me in position to go to San Diego. I go to San Diego right before the season starts. Week one, we're practicing, I think, against the Redskins, and I broke my foot. So what happened was, now this is my second year consecutively playing through an injury. And that year in San Diego, year one, I didn't practice one time after I broke my foot week one. Not one time the whole year. And I go out there and play well. I get 13 sacks. So everyone's like, wow, no one's really reporting that I got 10.5 sacks with a back surgery, or 13 sacks with one foot, with a broken foot. But what happened after that, the next year I come back, and it's week four. And I think you're playing the Patriots. And this is where it all went bad. We're in week four. I had 3 sacks already, so I was ahead of my pace. And then I tore my abdominal wall. Now, that injury sidelined me for a few weeks. I was misdiagnosed, you know, as it's been well documented since. I was told that I had a groin strains, bilateral groin strains, but really I just tore my abdominal wall, and I should have had surgery. I needed surgery, and I needed to sit out. But I played through it like I did this last 2 injuries. And then what happened after that is I never recovered. I was never the same athlete. I had some other surgeries and injuries, but what really changed my power, my speed, my strength, was the fact that I played through an abdominal injury with no core, and was told that it was something much less. And that's just the fact of it. So after that, I tried. I kept going after it, but the production went down every single year from that point on until I finally came to the realization that I had done a little too much to recover from. What's next? And what's next is obviously what I'm doing now, ESPN. But I just like to, you know, I tell everybody the truth. It doesn't hurt my feelings that I didn't meet up to expectations in San Diego. And I really wanted to. I really tried. But I guess some issues got in the way. Obviously, some of those things are documented if you look at the medical issues that have happened with some of the players in the league and some of the players on the Chargers specifically. But I was misdiagnosed, played through it, and there it is. So I apologize to all the San Diego Charger fans because I gave them a taste of something that they should have been able to have for a much longer time than I was allowed and able to do.
All right, I want to hit you with 2 quick questions to wrap up your time in San Diego, and then I want to move on to sort of what you're doing now. Tell me about your relationship, if you had one, with John Butler, because I always tell people that, I mean, the Chargers were the laughingstock of the league, and then John Butler comes from Buffalo. He brings A.J. Smith. He brings you. He brings Flutie, and that's when things really turned around, and you know, people can't appreciate it because the Chargers haven't really had a losing season or a bad season since then. But John Butler turned everything around and then, you know, died very early on, just a year or two later. Did you know him personally when he brought you over? Was that a guy that you rode with, or was it just a money thing?
No, I mean, he was a guy that that drafted me in Buffalo had a tremendous amount of respect for him beyond the professional relationship. A lot of love for John Butler. It really hurt me when he passed away. He was my guidance counselor in terms of how to navigate through football. He was the one voice that I trusted and that I knew would tell me the exact truth about any situation, whether it was good or bad. And he did that in Buffalo for me. He had a way to just simply state what the facts were, and you move forward from there. So when he said he was going to San Diego, there was no doubt I was putting San Diego on my list of teams to pay attention to. And at that time, I had a long list because I was the number one DN free agent. So I could have went anywhere for the right opportunity, but it was a great starting point and a great head start San Diego had when they had John Butler. And after 1 year, he passed away. So that was very disturbing. But he is a great mind, and there's no coincidence why success follows him everywhere he went. So you got to love John Butler, man. Rest in peace to the great John Butler, because he was the guy who gave me my opportunity, and he's also the guy that got me to the peak of my career.
Yeah.
I have three more minutes just to let you know, because I got to do my conference call for our show.
All right. Yeah. Tell me about what you're doing with the Special Olympics, and also, I mean, you have a post-NFL, post-athletic career that a lot of other players are looking at right now. They're trying to mimic. You're very, very successful on ESPN Radio, ESPN TV. So tell me about what you're doing now.
Yeah, working with Doha Gold, Special Olympics. Just to appreciate, you know, everyone, every athlete with the athletic spirit that's a part of this fraternity, no matter what walk of life they come from. So I'm there to show support and show love and spirit. And for all those athletes, especially those with special privileges and needs, the underprivileged and special needs. So I'm excited about that. My career, post-career, sometimes I chuckle because I remember when I couldn't do it on the football field anymore, talking to my teammates about planning what was next, having an identity to know that I'm more than a football player. It was very difficult at times to have the career that I had because I came in with little to no expectations, despite being a second rounder, because I came from Columbia, so they didn't know what to think. No one from the Ivy League was going pro at that time. And then I exceeded those expectations and reset new expectations. People started calling me
the leader
something much
disconnected.
Player.
The conference will be terminated in 5
Hello?
Minutes.
Yeah.
Hello?
I don't know.
Hello?
I don't know what that is. You go right ahead.
Yeah. So then I reset the expectations, and they were greater than even I expected. And that's when the injuries came into play, and I just couldn't live up to it. But I always told everybody, oh, the best me, the best who you think I am, is yet to come, because football is fickle. So you can be in the best shape of your life, and then one day, 1 second, it all goes away. I knew that it wouldn't happen that way in broadcasting. I said, whatever I do next won't be as fickle. Therefore, I can really show my talents consistently. And I love it. It's fun. It allows me to be myself, my personality. And I'm glad that now I get to talk to guys and they really look to me to try to help them navigate the next phase of their life. And it's a longer phase than football. It's a great phase if you have all your ducks in a row. And I'm just having a ball doing it.
Hey, man, I'm having a ball watching you and listening to you do it. So I know you got places to go, but keep doing big things, and hopefully we'll get in touch again someday.
I look forward to it, man. Appreciate you, brother. Go Bolts.